Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Monday morning Mona Lisa. Oh, what a masterpiece that was from Jason Tatum. Are his Celtics now the best bet to win it all? Plus, we'll tell you why it was especially galling that it was Tatum who finally stuck a fork in Philly. R.I.P. the process. We hardly knew ye. So now there are four. We'll tell you why LeBron's Lakers have never faced a challenge like the one they'll see next. Let's do this, people, on a Monday. It's time to get up, and we are delighted you were there.
Let's go!
All right, here we go. Alan Hahn is with us this morning, and I don't want to suggest that isn't exciting enough, but this is the first time we have had the great Vince Carter in studio with us today. Now, this is a thrill. And if all that's not enough, we go to Chicago this morning as well. That's where Woj is standing by with all the insight, because we got any number of big stories coming out of yesterday's big performance. Game 7, Celtics and Sixers. They've met in more Game 7s than any two teams in NBA history. The rivalry renewed. Under 9 minutes to go in the second quarter, this was really a turning point because the Sixers had an 8-point lead and maybe looking to add to it. But watch this as James Harden goes up. He collides. I would say inadvertently with the nose of Jaylen Brown, and that is ultimately called a flagrant on Harden. And from that moment forward, everything shifted back in the other direction. We're late in the second, and that's Brown going back the other way. He would score 25. The fans in Boston loved it as the Celtics extended their lead, and then extended farther they would. Jason Tatum, an enormous first half, 25 points as he knocks down those three, but he was just getting warmed up. This was a game at the break. It was no longer about 2 minutes into the third quarter, and that man was the reason why. Jason Tatum went flat nuts in the third quarter. Here he comes, knocking down another three over Embiid. Tatum himself can't believe what he's doing. At that moment, he'd outscored the Sixers 8-3 in the third quarter. But wait, there's more. A few minutes later, Tatum, again, he had 13 points in the third at that point to just 6 from Philadelphia. Later in the third, the lead is ballooned to 25. More from Tatum. He had 42 through the first three quarters. Not pictured anything from Philadelphia because they didn't do anything. Celtics, meanwhile, had only one thing left to do. This is Tatum for 50, and he's got it. Adding one more for good measure. 51 points for Jason Tatum, the most ever in a Game 7. A nice hug for Mom on Mother's Day there. The embrace from Joel Embiid, and the end of a very disappointing day for the 76ers. Let's talk for a moment about Tatum. Steph Curry's Game 7 scoring record lasted exactly 2 weeks. Tatum also became the first Celtics player with multiple career 50-point playoff games. However, on the other side, this was a disappointing, dare I say, devastating finish to the season for Philadelphia and the MVP, Joel Embiid.
I got to be better, and I will be better. That's what I'm focused on. All of us, we got to, come back and find ways to just keep improving and, help the team. You can't win alone. I can't win alone. Me and James, we just can't win alone. That's why basketball is played 5-on-5. So, we just need everybody to just, try to keep finding ways to get better, and, we'll be fine.
Okay. Put your feet up. We got about 15 minutes commercial free coming your way here in which to dissect this from every possible angle. And we'll do it with Woj and we'll do it with Vince Carter. But Alan, I'm going to start with you because there was a certain irony yesterday in that it was the 10-year anniversary of Sam Hinkie, who once upon a time was the general manager of the 76ers, uttering three words that became somewhat legendary and in many cases overwhelmingly despised in sports, which were trust the process. Was yesterday the end of the process once and for all?
Yes, Greeny, the process is dead. And the NBA should be celebrating this. Because if you think about it, the process after 10 years of resulting in no championships, not even getting to a conference finals, ends up nothing but a shell game. I mean, this to me was like a scam. It was a fantasy, and it was a coping mechanism for losing. Let's think about this for a minute. And fans embrace the idea of losing because it would eventually lead to winning. But what happens when you accept losing as a franchise? You never develop a winning mentality. You never develop that standard of winning. And the thing with when you're a general manager, you're always kicking the can down the road. So it's for lottery picks. It's the currency of hope, right? Like, that's what it's about selling at that point. But that hope never led to any type of significant winning. So imagine fans celebrating losing. It was so bad of a fad in this league that Adam Silver had to create a play-in tournament to incentivize winning. Think about that for a minute. A professional sports league had to incentivize winning. That's how big the process became in the league. And let's hope yesterday was the day it ended.
Yeah, in many ways, RIP, the process, we hated you from day one. And so let's, Vince, let's talk for a moment there about that moment for Embiid. We saw the embrace. This was a player who finally believed, it certainly looked like everything was aligned for him to finally get it done. He had the win on in that game five, so he had the advantage coming home. He finally got the MVP trophy that he wanted so badly and deserved. I voted for him. I think he was absolutely deserving of winning that award. How do you describe what happened to him over the last, let's call it 54 minutes of basketball in this series?
First and foremost, I'll say, you know, he got what he wanted, but with that award comes a responsibility and a target. Mm-hmm. You're the MVP now, mm-hmm. so they're going to make sure they stop the MVP mm-hmm. night in and night out, particularly in the playoffs. You were great. You kicked our butt regular season. We're not going to allow you to do the same in the playoffs, so you have to adjust. And he said, we can't do it by ourselves, but James Harden won a game or two mm-hmm. by himself.
Yep.
So his will, he has to figure out now, with being the most dominant player, the best player, how do you empower your team? How do you go out there and get your team a win? And I think that's going to be the adjustment for it. Like, and you guys, one thing I wanted to ask, you said about the process.
Yeah.
Was the process for a regular season
yeah.
start winning? Because they did accomplish that. They started to win now mm-hmm. to get themselves into the postseason. And then from there, now, you know, I think now it's the learning process of how do we win in the playoffs? Well, because it's a difference. Shaq always talked about whatever you're averaging in regular season, you have to bump that up a couple of points. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it's like the inflation is tough because you're the center of attention.
Yeah.
He is the center of attention. So how do I adjust that? And some nights it's not going to be, but it's just like 15 points, 8 rebounds. I'm sorry, in a closeout game.
But it's more about, to me, it's about when your team needs it the most.
Exactly.
You recognize 33-10 quarter, and I took 4 shots.
That's where I was going
with
that.
It's game 6, yeah. and this is slipping away, and I touched the ball one time.
Yes.
Like, those are the moments that you expect your best player to emerge and say, like, Keyshawn, get me the damn ball.
Correct.
Let me get Woj in on this. I have any number of thoughts I want to share, but we haven't heard from Woj yet. Woj, you hear the conversation here, and obviously this is something that's being talked about all over the NBA today. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, this was a Philadelphia organization that, you know, saw at the very least that conference semifinal round as being a threshold, you know, for Joel Embiid to get to at least a conference final. And you certainly saw the bracket anyway open up with Milwaukee out mm-hmm. in a really remarkable Miami team that's made a run. But I think either Boston or Philadelphia felt with Miami there was an opportunity, you know, to get to the finals. And I think for this Sixer team, you know, windows don't stay open forever. You've got Joel Embiid in his prime. He's been at an MVP level for 3 years. He was the runner-up for 2 years before winning it this season. And especially with the uncertainty about James Harden's future in Philadelphia, you know, I know Doc Rivers said yesterday, hey, this team, I think we have enough here, and this team still has more growth to do. But if James Harden walks out the door, he's not easily replaceable. They just can't go out into free agency. It doesn't create the kind of cap space. He's an all-star at this point. James Harden's an all-star level player, not an all-NBA player anymore. But this certainly makes it a challenge for the Sixers to look at a potential team next season, potentially without James Harden, and say we could be a better team or even as good of a team.
It's fascinating. Woj, stay with me. I need you all morning long for this. And one of the things I've learned from working with Woj all year long on NBA Countdown is that we'll sit here, fans like me will sit here and say, oh, get rid of this guy and get rid of that guy. Because in the moment, that's all you're thinking. And then Woj will just turn to me very quietly and say, okay, and then who are you going to get? Life doesn't work that way. I get it. I understand. We're not playing fantasy here. But let's point out one quick thing. The video we were showing you while Woj was talking is where the Sixers actually lost this series. They didn't lose this series yesterday. This series was lost Thursday night in the final half of the fourth quarter at home when they had every opportunity in the world to put the final nail in the coffin on a Celtic team that had Jason Tatum playing the worst game of his life. The juxtaposition is remarkable because Jason Tatum yesterday not only played the best game of his life, might have played the best game seven we've ever seen anybody play. Thursday night, he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean, and the Sixers had every chance to put them away. And when that game was there to be won, Vince Carter, Joel Embiid didn't touch the ball at all. Literally didn't touch the ball at all.
And Greeny, I looked at that as we were showing those clips. I looked at it. So that pick and roll to the pop, you know, him popping back for the jump shot.
Yeah.
They use that all.
Yes.
Here, you see the pick and roll right there. Now it's like they're not helping. Everybody's crowding the paint and they're taking away that play. We're going to make somebody else get the ball. So now here's another one. All right.
Sit here. Just
that's
right
it. It was right there. So now, if I'm Joel Embiid and I'm not getting it, guess what I'm doing? When I set the pick and roll, I'm getting a little closer.
Mm-hmm.
Here, if you have to hand me the ball, like you said, get me the damn ball, I'm going to get a little closer. Now, that goes to coaching, one.
Yeah.
And your point guard play. Your point guard has to understand at some point, I have to get Joel Embiid, the MVP, the ball. And I got to figure out a way how.
Well, you and I were talking this morning before we came in here, and you were telling me you played with Mark Jackson, you played with Steve Nash, you played with Jason Kidd. Mm-hmm. I think they may be 1, 2, and 3 on the all-time assist list. I should have looked. But they're right there at the top. Yes. And you told me every one of the – and here's right there, Jason Kidd. When things are going sideways, the point guard knows I got to get the franchise the ball.
Lawrence Frank did not have to say or think I need to run a play. Jay Kidd knew. He would come to me like, go post him up.
Right.
It don't matter. Doesn't matter where. Go post up. When you run down the court, turn. I'm going to throw it to you early. I'm going to get you the ball early. Now, Joel Embiid, we're talking about a five-man, but here's a five-man that can handle the ball in transition or whatever. Sometimes when you get the rebound as a guard, the outlet, you're like, no. Here, big fella, start the offense. You'd have to touch the ball. And that's what made the game so easy for me. In Toronto, I was more I had the ball in my hand, had to figure out ways. When I got to New Jersey, it was just a different world because Jason Kidd threw you into open jump shots.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash threw you into Mark Jackson the same way when I played with those guys. Those are just their high basketball. Their basketball IQ was just another level, and they understood, regardless of the play, you know, he was like, I got it. And next thing you know, we break a play just to get a touch. Shoot the ball. He'd tell me shoot the ball, whatever. Just get a touch. Because after you get a shot up, you know, satisfy, you know, your star player, then they start to set better screens to get open. They start to figure out ways to get open.
And so that's part of where it gets away from them yesterday. Quick thought on that, because again, I cannot underline enough times. Look, the process, there are things about the process that in theory can work. That's why they had to change it.
Well,
in baseball, look, the Chicago Cubs did the process. The Houston Astros did the process, and you win. When you incentivize losing, you invite that upon yourself. And to your point, the league has had to make adjustments to get around that. The problem with the process, they kept drafting players who couldn't play. They made every conceivable mistake you could make. Embiid is literally the only one that they got right over the entire course of time, including, and the ultimate irony, is that it's Jason Tatum who knocks them out yesterday because they wound up, and this is now legendary, you don't need me to tell you, they traded up from 3-1 to take Markelle Fultz in what now I think is going to go down as quite possibly the worst trade in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, the worst trade to move up to number one in the history of the NBA, if you think about that as well. And of course, it's the irony of the fact that the guy that you decided to pass on in the draft sent you home, the guy that dropped 51 on you in a game seven. But what you said to me is exactly what it is about the process. It's not a process. It's about drafting well. Because the Golden State Warriors built what they built, not on top three picks, top two picks, or losing on purpose and collecting picks, is they drafted really well. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were a little bit later lottery picks. Draymond Green was a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes was their highest draft pick, if you think about it.
Yep.
But what did they do with those guys? They developed. So drafting's easy. Developing is the hard part. And that's the one thing the Sixers never got right, getting the right player and then turning that player like a Ben Simmons, who was the right player, into a guy that can help you win a championship.
Yeah, we got to get to him and his Instagram story, too. But that's not the Instagram piece that was important of yesterday. Let me give Woj the final word on Philly. And by final, I mean only for this moment. We have all morning long to continue to dive into this. But, Woj, as you hear this conversation, usually I say things and then you point out the ways in which I'm making no sense. So feel free if that's the way you see it. The final word on Philly for the moment.
Yeah, you know, Allen's talking about the process and the Fultz Jason Tatum trade. You know, the process was essentially over by them. Sam Hinkie was gone. Brian Colangelo was brought in with the idea that they were going to try to start winning. They clearly made a mistake in that draft. Danny Ainge wanted Jason Tatum. He knew that you know, he could have stayed at three and gotten him. But ultimately, I think the process was a shorter window than people really want to remember. But the moniker stayed with it. And listen, you're trying to get a bunch of high picks. No, you're going to, history shows, you're going to miss on a few of them. Most teams do. But can you get that one or two great players with a lot of at-bats, so to speak? They did get that with Embiid. You know, certainly Ben Simmons was an all-star player. An all-NBA player until his career took a different turn. But they hit out enough of them to build a contender. But certainly, again, Joel Embiid's window and the ability to put players around him while he's in his prime, it's not going to go on for much longer. This was a key season for them to try to break through. And Boston's got a better team. Boston's got the deepest, most talented team in the NBA. You know, Philly still got them to seven games, but just not quite enough.
Yeah, and Boston now is actually the favorite to go on and win the championship. So here's the good news. We didn't get to any of the things that I meant to get to there, particularly the insight onto the future of the Sixers coach and the future of their point guard. And Woj will have the latest on all of those as we go. But there is another developing story, of course, in the NBA, and we are, of course, following that. And that involves Ja Morant, the young Grizzlies superstar. Memphis has suspended him from all team activities after a video showing him holding a gun began circulating on social media on Saturday night. It was during an Instagram live session on a friend of Ja Morant's account that the All-Star flashed a gun. The video has since been deleted. Morant already served an 8-game suspension after he displayed a handgun on Instagram Live while in a Denver area strip club. That was back in March. And so we all recall how we went through that. Then yesterday, we have this again. And Woj, you and I spent a bunch of time yesterday with that. But for those who were not with us, what did you hear from all around the league, particularly the league office, with the latest on Ja Morant?
Well, Greeny, let's preface it first with this. If what appears to be a gun in that video and the league finds out that this is not a doctored video, that this isn't some sort of enhancement. You have to say that first because we're assuming we know what it appeared to be with our eyes. But if that is indeed a gun in his hand, he's facing a significant suspension to start next season. I think the feeling all around the league, I think with the Grizzlies, with the league office, with other teams, that, you know, Adam Silver, there was some leniency in that 8-game suspension with Ja Morant, that he met with him in the league office. He took Ja Morant at his word that he was contrite, that he understood that his behavior had to change. It wasn't just the gun incident in the bar in the club in Denver. It had been a pattern of incidences with Ja Morant that the league had spent better part of a year plus investigating, that there was a pattern of really disturbing behavior that concerned the Grizzlies, concerned the league, and that an 8-game suspension, it was really just 2 games retroactive, that he let him off fairly easy. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think Ja Morant is facing a significant suspension to start next season, if indeed that was a firearm in his hand in that video. And I think there's going to be some pressure, I think, even from other teams around the NBA, that this isn't just harmful to the Memphis Grizzlies and their organization, but this is harmful on a league level. Right. And I don't think Adam Silver is going to take this one lightly. I expect there's going to be real consequences in this case.
All right, so how valuable to us to have you with us today, Woj. Again, in Chicago, the draft lottery is tomorrow and all these things. Stay right where you are. We will have much more insight. As Woj was talking, Vince Carter was sitting here shaking his head. There's so much emotion that so many people around the league feel as a result of the story. And we will set aside ample time as we continue in this hour to dive into all of that. In the meantime, much more as well on the finish in Philadelphia. James Harden, a no-show in Game 7. You'll hear what Stephen A. had to say about where it should go next. Plus, LeBron took the Lakers from 2-10 to the West Finals. Should they now be considered to be the favorites to win the Wild, Wild West? We've got all morning to dive into all of this and more. Stay with us. It's Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, as we welcome you back briefly to our studio here, I just want to point out what everyone else is pointing out. With the great Vince Carter in studio for the first time, do you own any ties that are not that color? That would be the question that I have for you. I mean, could you be more Carolina blue as you walk in here today?
I do.
You own other color ties?
100%. I have dark ties. I do. I don't have navy.
No navy?
No. I do. I just don't wear them. Usually that's the day I just do a sport coat.
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
And we didn't do this on purpose, but actually, Alan, you and I kind of have the Carolina blue thing going. This was something of an accident, but did you do this?
In honor of Vince, of course, and my wife, who actually was at North Carolina when Vince was there. She was a softball star there, so why not? Let's celebrate it. Go Heels.
I like it. Go Heels. We got the Carolina blue working today in honor of one of the all-time greats, Vince Carter, who's here to talk all morning long about what the actual heck happened in the NBA yesterday, including to James Harden. Stephen A. will weigh in next on what Harden needs to do now if he wants to stay in Philly. You won't want to miss that. We're just rolling along. It's a blue kind of Monday. Get up on ESPN.
Girl.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and as we reach the bottom of the hour here, we point out more Game 7 heartbreak for the Philadelphia 76ers. It was 4 years ago up in Toronto. They were seconds away from overtime when Kawhi Leonard's quadruple bounce at the buzzer sent Embiid tearfully home. Then against the Hawks in 2021, Ben Simmons decided he'd rather not take an uncontested dunk. He passed up a late shot that could have tied the game. That was Simmons' final game with the team. And then yesterday, Joel Embiid and James Harden combining to score just 24 points as the Sixers got drubbed by Boston in Game 7. Stephen A. Smith had this to say about James Harden yesterday.
James Harden was so awful, so bad. He should actually shave his beard so he could hide his identity. That's how bad he was. I mean, it was really, really bad. I say that in all seriousness. I'm not joking. I worked in Philadelphia for 17 years. It was that bad. I'm telling you right now, it would be difficult for him to walk the streets. You don't do what you saw him do on Sunday afternoon in a Game 7.
So, a million different angles to go here, including I want to get to Woj in a moment on the realities involved. But let's start with the fantasy mentality. How much of the blame for what happened yesterday, Vince, do you think is fair to place on Harden? When a team gets beat as badly as they did, we all understand there's blame to go around. Harden had an absolutely terrible game. Of that, there is no question. How much of the blame for what just happened to the Sixers do you think it's fair to place on him?
The harsh reality of being a go-to guy, a superstar, future Hall of Famer, is this. When your performance is like this, you're going to get the blame. That's just the way it goes. And whether we like it or not, I mean, he could have had a rather decent game and still get the blame because it wasn't enough. And the same, I think, as much as James Harden is getting the blame, we still need to go to Joel Embiid, the MVP as well.
Yep.
So he's not on this island by himself, in my opinion. I feel like James Harden, also, it's just the moment. Taking advantage of the moment. You know, you claim to be one of the best players. You are the best player, future Hall of Famer. Go be that. And you have a sidekick. This is in today's game. You have a sidekick. You have another guy. That wasn't the case many, many years ago, you had to find a way to do it by yourself. So I think as much as we say James Harden, you know, your performance, yes, it wasn't great, but I think that duo deserves to share the both of that together.
Yeah, what do you think, Alan?
Well, if Joel Embiid is not being prepped for surgery today because of how bad that knee was and the fact that he was playing on it, if he's not being prepped for surgery right away, then he has to be first in line.
Okay.
And then after that, you can put Doc Rivers 2B, you know, AB, 2A and 2B with he and James Harden. But James Harden gave you 2 games in this series.
He did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
He got you 2 wins in the series, including an improbable Game 1 win that set you up to get this series up 3-2 because you won that Game 1. So I can't put the blame on him. You can find the mistakes, of course, and why are we shocked? Honestly, James Harden in a Game 7, the way he performed late in the series, this is so on brand for him and obviously for Philadelphia as well. So I wouldn't put him at the top of the list. I still think it's Joel Embiid.
I think that's fair. It is worth saying out loud again. They only won 3 games in this series, and he won 2 of them.
Yes.
So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. That said, his future will be much discussed, and so let's discuss it and bring Woj back into the conversation for that. Woj, back, I think it was on Christmas you first started reporting this with us on Countdown about the possibility, ultimately, of a Harden-Houston reunion. Where does all of that stand as of right now?
Yeah, Greeny, it was a real possibility back on Christmas, and It remains so now that the Sixers are in the offseason, that we're started to head toward July free agency. Philadelphia is a very real possibility, or Houston's a very real possibility for Philadelphia's James Harden in free agency. They've got, you know, upwards of $60 million in cap space. They want to be much better next season. And listen, James Harden certainly pushed his way out of Houston when he felt he had reached the end of the line there as a contender, and got to Brooklyn with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Obviously, that did not last long. Daryl Morey had always targeted to try to bring Harden to Philly. He got him there. And now, with free agency upon him, I think for the Sixers, they've got to decide how much they would want to invest long-term in James Harden at his age, where he's at. But there's a comfort level in Houston for James Harden. He's got family there. He's very comfortable in that environment. And this is an organization where he knows ownership. He knows the front office. And I think regardless for the Rockets of whether or not they won the draft lottery, if they win the lottery tomorrow night here in Chicago, and they're the ones who can draft Victor Wembanyama, my sense is that would not necessarily change the Rockets' intentions to pursue James Harden. So that's going to be the story here between now and July. And listen, it may ultimately just be a leverage play for James Harden. Houston may be his way to get him the kind of guaranteed money, long-term money he wants in Philly. But I wouldn't underestimate it as just a leverage play. I think he's very serious about returning. And Philadelphia now, you know, they've got some, they have strong relationships in that organization from Daryl Morey, starting with him in their front office. It's going to really be an interesting couple months.
Yeah, so let's put the things on the table. So Harden will be 34 when next season begins. Feels like he's been in the league forever, but that by normal, by today's standard,
hey man,
is not
young.
That old of
young.
A player. Well, by your standard, ridiculous. He's a teenager as compared to Vince Carter's standard. And he did lead the league in assists this year, for whatever it's worth. I mean, you know, he's such a confounding player to try and define, because there were so many, you see things and you say to yourself, there it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're looking for, and you just don't get it every single day. And maybe that's true of a lot of players in the league right now. So you mentioned that there's Embiid and there's Harden. And then there's Doc Rivers. Let's get to him. There has been a lot of speculation about whether or not his job was on the line in this seven-game series. And yesterday, our Kendrick Perkins actually tweeted, if I'm Doc Rivers, I wouldn't even give them a chance to fire me. I'll just step down right after the game. A blind man can see this ain't on him. His two stars basically quit. Ooh. That's big Perk. And that's the ugliest four-letter word in sports. Don't let any other fool you. So I guess I will ask you, Vince Carter, again. I just asked you how much blame it's fair to put on Harden. How much blame for what didn't happen here do you think is fair to put on Doc?
And there again, as as a coach, you're going to take some blame. Usually the coach takes the blame. Adjustments, more so than anything, the blame. But I thought that he had his team prepared. Game six, though, I just think crippled them, and they lost their focus. And you could see that fourth quarter leading on. So it's like the first quarter of game seven was crucial for the Sixers, because I just thought they just came in and their spirit had left them already.
Right.
So what does Doc Rivers do? How do you motivate them?
If you think about it, the stench of how game six ended wasn't present at the start of game seven, which tells you the coach had them ready to play in that game seven. It fell apart. The flagrant foul, which, again, unnecessary flailing of the hands by James Harden. Didn't have to do it, but he's always trying to draw fouls. Yeah. And things really turned at that point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for Doc, I mean, the history is certainly there for him. And I love Perk, because Perk got a ring because of Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. And that's really the last time Doc Rivers won. It's his championship. He gets to the finals a couple years later, loses to Kobe and the Lakers. But still, that run was him that was his greatest coaching achievements. And then since then, with the Clippers and now here with the Sixers, it's been nothing but pain of trying to get over the top. Five straight losses in a game seven, nine straight losses, is he right, in a the opportunity to clinch.
Let me read it for you here, yeah, very specifically. He has lost 10 times in game sevens. That's twice as many as any other head coach in NBA history. He has lost 9 consecutive games in which his team had a chance to reach the conference final.
Yeah, that's significant when you're a coach, because that's the part that you're supposed to take the team over the top.
But here's the part that I get sometimes lost in, and then I'm going to get Woj quickly to finish it up here. What I sometimes get lost in with the coaches in the basketball is you've got Joel Embiid and you've got James Harden, and he's got Tyrese Maxey too, who many people, including me, think is actually the second best player on that team. Is it Doc's fault they don't get over the top? I mean, you got to put the players in the right positions to win, and then when they don't, will you lead the horse to water? If the horse doesn't drink, is that the fault of the guy riding the horse? I mean, that's what I'm asking you here. He had them right where they needed to be.
He gave them the game plan, and they have to execute it. And as a coach, you have to find ways, unfortunately, to motivate your team to get that to translate.
Yeah.
And I also say, with what he had, he got the best out of that scene.
You think he got all the juice out of this squeeze?
I do.
Because to me, the only thing that I would really go at Doc on is what you were talking about before when we were showing Joel Embiid open and not getting the ball.
Adjustments.
That's the time, not even an adjustment. Timeout. Sit him down. Yeah, for sure. See that guy? He's the MVP. Get him the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing you can criticize him about.
This is the end of game six with that. But I go back to what you said in that same conversation, Vince. No one had to tell that to Jason Kidd. No one had to tell that to Steve Nash. No one had to tell that to Mark Jackson. James Harden has been around the league forever. I'm not sure someone needs to have to tell him, get the ball to Joel Embiid. He's the best scorer in the league.
And to go with that, as a coach, when you're watching this offense and you're watching the adjustments, you have your playlist and your playbook, and go-to plays, and you know what works.
Yeah.
At that point, you call a play that he gets the ball, period. Mm-hmm. Or when he gets the rebound, you call that play where he starts the offense. And sometimes you whisper over and it's like, hey, go shoot the ball.
I got you.
Be selfish.
Let me get Woj back in with a final word on this, because here's another one, Woj. Again, I wish everyone got the chance to work with Woj like I do all the time, because I'll fire Doc yesterday. I'm sitting in the middle of the third quarter yesterday. That's it, Woj, get him out. That's my attitude. And Woj always brings. So what is the rational perspective on the future of Doc Rivers in Philadelphia, Woj?
Greeny, you talk to people in that locker room, in that organization, and I think something that is really underestimated is the job that Doc Rivers has done holding that organization together through the Ben Simmons saga and then the arrival of James Harden and trying to broker a partnership with Harden and Joel Embiid. James Harden wanting to still play in a way he had played previously, but understanding this team is built around Embiid and Harden may not be able to play with the ball in his hands all the time and certainly doing as much scoring as he would like perhaps to do. And I think that is underestimated in this league. Your ability as a head coach to coach players hard. He still coaches star players really hard. And you heard James Harden yesterday, kind of be lukewarm about his relationship with Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers coached James Harden hard. They had a lot of success together. Don't underestimate that in this league. And I think Doc Rivers deserves a lot of credit for that, because these have been a tumultuous through the Simmons period, the bringing on Harden. That was not easy to do.
No, I think that's 100% fair. I have to leave it there for the moment, but we have much more to say about all of this on this jam-packed day with this outstanding squad that we have put together, including coming up next, the King is looking for another ring. Can LeBron and AD carry the Lakers past the MVP and all the way to the NBA Finals? We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, so much action around the world of sports yesterday, including the Oilers facing elimination, hosting the Golden Knights in Game 6. The Oilers 4-0 after a loss in this postseason. Would it continue? We're under a minute into the game. We've already had a goal. The Oilers trailing 1-0. And then here's Connor McDavid. They're trading goals. In the first minute, we're tied at 1. Second period now. Golden Knights trailing 2-1. We got a shot on the net. Jonathan Marchessault tucks in the rebound, and he's in the right spot at the right time. We're tied at 2. 3 minutes later, Vegas sustained offensive pressure. It's Alec Martinez with a slap shot, and it's Marchessault. Right place, right time, right result, a rebound goal. As you take another look, the puck deflecting off Stuart Skinner into the air. Marchessault is there, his second of the night. And then, for good measure, Vegas, a power play expiring. It's Marchessault. Throw the hats on the ice, a hat trick, and Vegas goes on to win it 5-2. They're on to the conference final for the fourth time in the 6 years of their franchise history. Meanwhile, tonight we've got a Game 7 in Dallas. The Kraken, the Stars, 8 Eastern on ESPN and the app. The winner will face the Golden Knights in the West Conference Finals. Speaking of the West Conference Finals, we will get that going tomorrow night for you in the NBA. LeBron and the Lakers are underdogs for the third straight series this postseason. Denver currently a 5.5-point favorite for tomorrow night's Game 1 at home. This, of course, is a rematch of the 2020 West Final when LA beat the Nuggets in 5 games. Okay, and so let's get into this here. Woj, I will start with you. How did the Lakers get here after starting the season 2-10?
Well, most importantly, Greeny, they finally got a healthy LeBron James and a healthy Anthony Davis together for a significant stretch. But at the trade deadline, the moves that the Lakers made to fortify the supporting cast around those two players, bringing in D'Angelo Russell, certainly Rui Hachimura prior to the trade deadline, Jared Vanderbilt. This became a roster that all of a sudden built around those two players, had some versatility, had some depth. They brought in shooting. They allowed Austin Reeves to become a full-time starter, and you've seen him blossom under Darvin Ham. And just how about the work of Darvin Ham this season? I don't think it's been talked about enough. This is a coach who started 2-10, worked through a lot of adversity with this team in the locker room, held this thing together. And when Rob Pelinka brought in reinforcements for him, and again, got a healthy Davis and James, and you've seen the job that Ham has done in these playoffs against a Hall of Fame coach, certainly in Steve Kerr, Taylor Jenkins, who was a close friend of his, comes from that Mike Budenholzer tree in Milwaukee, where a lot of those assistant coaches have gone on to be really good head coaches, and Darvin Ham has proven now he's one of them, and now he's in the conference final against Michael Malone and a really loaded Denver team that I think is peaked to finally break through and get to the finals. This is going to be a great, great series.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. Again, we'll have all the action for you on ESPN and ABC. So let's dive into where I think this thing ultimately gets decided, Vince. Nikola Jokic is the least celebrated all-time great player in the league because of where he plays and maybe because of the style he plays. It's not that pretty to watch. It's not like watching Vince Carter play in his prime, let's put it that way. But to call it effective would be the understatement of the century. No one can do anything with this guy. But Anthony Davis can do things that almost no other big in the league can do either. So talk me through this matchup, Vince, because it feels to me like the series will be decided, as great as LeBron is, by the matchup of Jokic and AD.
So I'm going to start with Jokic. And the thing about Jokic is every time he steps on the floor, the guy that's guarding him is probably, I don't want to say more athletic, extremely more, like he extreme.
Yes.
Like I'm talking about next level.
Correct.
And he finds a way because of his IQ. Mm-hmm. And you have to have discipline to guard a guy like that because you can match up and you see, you know, you hear guys with a big tub of lard and this, that, the fourth, he can't jump, but he just outsmarts you and he's patient. Mm-hmm. Like people guarding Luka. You have to be patient because they play at their pace. Anthony Davis, he's so athletic. He can start an offense. I mean, he can run the offense. He can get out and run. You know, and that's going to be the challenge for Jokic is getting back and finding him in transition. Now, the thing that is going to be difficult is defensively, Anthony Davis' ability to stretch the floor.
Mm-hmm.
is going to be the key, because when that paint is open, that's when now Reeves and Russell and all these guys and LeBron can get into the paint. But Anthony Davis has to be careful with foul trouble.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the key to me, because Darvin Ham has not used his other bigs that he has. Mm-hmm. So when he gets in foul trouble, where do you go there? Now you're going to move LeBron over to the five? I don't know. You always talk about wearing LeBron down. That's going to wear him down trying to guard that big fella.
Is the concern about foul trouble, and then, you know, I hate to even say it out loud, but with Davis, you're always concerned about him getting injured. If it's a little nick here, a little nick there, and the next thing you know, he can't go, and that's when they're really finished. But this feels like such an opportunity for Anthony Davis,
doesn't it?
There was a moment in time when he was the answer to the question, if you're starting an NBA franchise right now, you could have any player in the league. People were saying Anthony Davis. No one is saying that now, but this feels like his chance. If he outplays Jokic in this series,
he's back.
And the Lakers go to the finals, Davis is back.
Yeah, he's back, right. And there was also a time where ESPN did a ranking that they do every year at the start of a season of the top 100 players in the league. He was number two. LeBron James was number one. Think about that also for a moment. But this is not like the bubble matchup, where they also had Dwight Howard coming off the bench.
Yep.
They also had JaVale McGee coming off the bench. A lot of bodies to throw at Jokic to wear him down. As we saw with DeAndre Ayton in the previous series, Jokic wore Ayton down. And that's your biggest concern with the Lakers, is Anthony Davis not only has to give you 25, 30 on this end of the floor, but he's got to guard Jokic 24-7. And while he is big and the dad bod and all that stuff, he's slow but quick. And so you always are on alert. It will be mentally exhausting. It will be physically exhausting if Anthony Davis has to spend exclusively all his time defensively on Jokic.
I want to give you one thing to that. And just think about this. When you're guarding Jokic, you want to stay close to him. Mm-hmm. If Anthony Davis always has to go help side, swing the ball one side to the other, then this guy hits you, that's going to wear him down, and that's where I think, you know, injuries and all that thing can occur.
Look, I mean, you see the question on your screen. The most important player in the series, Anthony Davis or Nikola Jokic? The answer is yes.
AD.
The answer is it's the two of them, right? I mean, it's literally that.
Who wins that matchup?
Who wins that matchup? The player who wins that matchup goes on to play for the NBA championship, and it starts tomorrow night in what will be a huge night for us on ESPN. We will start the evening with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be on for a full hour. Then we will have the NBA Draft Lottery. And then we will have Game 1 of the West Final, the Lakers and the Nuggets, at 8:30 Eastern. The whole thing is also streaming live on the ESPN app, so you can watch wherever you may be. As we continue, Jason Tatum. It was a Mona Lisa, a masterpiece, as he closes out the Sixers in Game 7. Where does it rank with the greatest playoff performances we've ever seen? We're talking about it. Get up on ESPN.